This summer, camp will be more important to our campers and staff than any other summer in their lives. This special Go Camp Pro podcast is geared towards motivating and inspiring all camps to successfully open this summer and, if possible, in person.
This is the Day Camp Pod from Go Camp Pro, bringing you the best ideas, strategies, and discussions in the day camp industry. You can find our show notes at daycamppodcast.com. A big thanks to our sponsors who make the Day Camp Pod possible. AM Skyer is a leading insurance and strategic partner for many of the finest camps in America. For 101 years, AM Skyer has been supporting camps in PR, legal, health, facility management, general safety, and more. Experience the AM Skyer difference at amskyer.com. Is brought to you by CRS, Commercial Recreation Specialists. Find purveyors of the best recreation solutions to keep camp going strong. Check out their website at crs4rec.com. CRS is serious about fun.
Welcome, everybody, to this special Go Camp Pro podcast. We are calling this You Can Do This, Baby. I'm going to throw baby on there. All right, because, you know, the Summer Camp Professionals page can get you down if you read that stuff. I mean, there's a lot of negativities, a lot of fears out there and all this kind of thing. And we put together this little all-star crew of positivity to get us over the hump. Okay, so I am Andy Pritikin of the Day Camp podcast. I run Liberty Lake Day Camp, which is in South Central New Jersey, outside of Philadelphia. We got, you know, 1,000 kids and 250 staff, and we ran last summer, and we're ready to do it again. All right, I'm also the past president of ACA New York, New Jersey, and I'm partner of Everwood Day Camp up in Massachusetts. And I'm handing off now to my friend Kelly Espinosa on the other coast.
Hey, I'm Kelly Espinosa. I've been in camping for about 40 plus years, but I am currently the day camp director at Kennelin Camps, which is in Santa Cruz County in California. And we did run our programs, our day camp programs, and a couple weeks of resident program last summer.
That's awesome.
Hi, everybody. My name is Chris Hudson. I am a social worker in New York City. We, just before the podcast, we used our fingers to calculate that I've been in camping for almost 30 years, believe it or not. I didn't believe it. We had to use all of our hands to figure this out. I am one of the founders and one of the directors of a place called Camp Highlight, which is a one-week specialty camp for kids who come from LGBTQ families. We operate in Pennsylvania, and we did not operate last year because there was a thing going on. I don't know, maybe you heard about it on the news. So,
yeah, and by the way, so Chris is one of these exceptional humans that as soon as he, you know, called it quits on the summer because he couldn't run, basically, he was pretty much like, okay, so what do we got to do to gear up for next summer, right? And I'm so glad Chris is with us for a million reasons, but the first thing that's most relevant to this podcast is he is a social worker. Yeah. Right. And he's in schools right now.
Yes.
And middle school. And, you know, I am a typical camp director. I'm getting phone calls from parents left and right. And Chris, I am getting calls about these, what I thought were typically well-adjusted kids who are losing their marbles now. Mm-hmm. Right. Some of these kids who, like in the city of Philadelphia, which we get a lot of kids from, they have not gone back to school. They have still been out of school since last March. So these kids may be 16 months that these kids have not socialized with other kids. They are not allowed on playgrounds in Philadelphia still.
Some of them are not allowed out of their houses, depending on the neighborhood you're in, because it's just not safe with the density of people that are there. It's troubling. In New York City, if you're following New York City news, our mayor and our governor hate each other. So they do everything to make each other's lives miserable and in effect, making millions of people's lives miserable. The school has been open, closed. The other day, on Monday, was our first day of school because it opens, it closes, it opens, it closes, it opens, it closes. And it is a lot. I mean, one, it's a lot for parents to deal with who are constantly juggling childcare, but also it's a lot for the kids to deal with. You know, one of the things that, one of great things about school is the consistency of it, right? That's why in elementary school, you have one teacher usually, and you're in one classroom usually, and you know what to expect day in, day out. You know, they have those big calendars on the wall at elementary school. They're very colorful, but all that has been thrown out, right? Because you show up one day, you're doing the thing, and then here comes the principal and the loudspeaker saying, we have a positive case. Everyone needs to go home tomorrow for 2 weeks. All your classes are online, and we don't know when we're going to be back. And that is really listen, that's hard for me as someone who works in a school, right? Who has a full experience of trauma and how to deal with it. But for an 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old, it's a lot. I don't want to say it's too much because I don't want to start off on a dark, I don't want to take us down a dark path, but no, I think it's too much. Like, it is too much. It's a lot for these kids to handle. There was a piece in the New York Times, I don't know if you saw it a couple of weeks ago, just about the epidemic of mental health issues on teenagers. They looked at teenagers in Europe and how suicide hotlines are just ringing off the hook. There's been more hospitalizations than ever before in Italy and France. And we're seeing some of that here. And so now here we come, summer camp professionals, preparing to receive all of that this summer.
Yeah. And think about, you know, these kids, right? So here's this 8 or 9 year old kid and his single mom who's got a couple siblings, mm-hmm. and she's working a job or two. And think of the stress that's coming from the parents in the homes, in these apartments.
Right? In every direction. You know, yeah. Every direction. I know one family, the parents are working from home and they have 5 kids between kindergarten and college. Mm-hmm. And everyone is online at home in a 3-bedroom.
Right. And by the way, lucky for them, if they have high speed internet, and they all have laptops and all that kind of stuff, because there's families like that are sharing one.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. Thing. I mean, the poor kids out there, they're the ones really getting hurt by this epidemic. No doubt about it. Yeah. You know, you mentioned consistency and predictability, which are, you know, benefits of school. They're also benefits of camp. And a lot of times I hear what I consider gross misconceptions of why you should not open camp, or why you don't, you know, why some people who could have opened camp last summer that didn't, they said, you know what, it's just not going to be camp weeky wonky, you know, the way it normally is, you know, because we're not going to be able to do the campfire and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And to those people, I say, give me a break, please. Because these kids,
Andy, I was one of those people.
These kids need some version of your camp, the best version possible that you can put forth. Mm-hmm. They need that.
No, and you're absolutely right. And I was one of those people, you know, starting this time last year, looking at the numbers. Let me tell you something. I was not a student who enjoyed science growing up. But in this past year, I'm ready to get my master's in immunology because I read scholarly like articles about viruses because I was like, I have to really take on all the knowledge possible to determine the risk for this community, like the risk for our Camp Highlight community. I'm not a doctor, but from what I understood at the time, I just made the best decision I could in the moment, because we had to make our decision. Like, I think we dragged it out till April or May, and then we had to let people know. But what's interesting is, like, I hear what you're saying, Andy, right? Like, definitely if we had run, it would have been so different. I'm not certain I could have pulled the staff back for the consistency issues that you mentioned. Like, the staff too, they want to see what they expect to see. And they want an experience similar to what they don't want to start from square one learning a new job. And we didn't ask anybody, but I know my staff, and I know that would have come up for some of them for sure.
All right. Well, let's pivot to Kelly because it's totally understandable that you
talking too much.
It's not at all. It's totally understandable that you feel that way. Mm-hmm. Okay, absolutely. I'm validating your feelings there, Chris. Okay, and by the way, you called it off early, right? April. That was relatively early.
Yeah, we did it fairly early.
So it's understandable even more so that you would feel it then. There was so much unpredictability. Nobody knew which way was up. Yeah. Right. But Kelly, how did your staff react to being told that they had to do a new version of Kenalon?
Well, it was one of the many things that we focused on, and we had all those same concerns. The kids aren't going to want to come. We're not going to have horseback riding. We're not going to go to the beach field trip. We're not going to have trapeze. Mm-hmm. You know, all these things got cut. We were down to, you know, 4, 5, or 6 of our regular activities. The staff weren't going to be able to intermix like they had in the past. They weren't going to be able to have, you know, a big staff room where they could all gather and do stuff. Because of our numbers going way down, we had, Chris, what you mentioned, staff who just said, no, I can't do it. You know, I don't want to. It's like if somebody passes and you don't want to see that because you want to have the memory in your head. Right. And a lot of them were saying that I want to keep kenneling that way. But because our numbers were lower, there were plenty of them who said, I will come and do any version of your camp that we're going to do.
Right.
Because they had the need, just like you talked about with the kids, right? They'd been locked away. They'd been at home with, you know, college students who have to now live with their parents again and follow all these rules that they're not used to and, you know, and not be around any other grownups. And so we were able to get a great crew of staff who were really into it. And honestly, we were very open about that. We didn't try to convince anybody or sugarcoat it or anything. We really said, this is what it's going to be like. This is how it's going to be. We found in all of our interactions last year that transparency was super important and we weren't holding back. We were telling the parents, the kids, everybody, what's it going to be like? And there were plenty of people who came. And to your point about Camp Wiggy Waggy wouldn't be the same, boy, did we find out that what really mattered, you know, the minute we were crazy and we opened very early in June and we were running around like we always do before camp starts. And literally the minute kids started walking onto the property, we all went, hey, this is camp. Like, we're going to be okay, you know? And the kids were so, at that point, I mean, this was only March, you know? I mean, they had only been, you know, sequestered since March, right? And we're opening in June. And we really believed what you said, Chris, about setting routine and school being all those things. Back then, we believed we were doing that to help the teachers in the fall when school was going to open right back up again. And we were making jokes that the teachers were going to go, you must have gone to camp this summer because you're doing, you know, you can still follow rules, you know? And so we were all, glassy eyed about, oh, we are saving the world of school right now. And every single kid that comes to camp, because you're very right. They didn't have routine. They didn't have, you know, only their mom was telling them what to do or nobody was telling them what to do. They didn't have schedules and those kinds of things. So, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about that and training, but it didn't turn out to be as overwhelmingly horrible as we thought it was, because truly the gratitude and the just sigh of, oh, we're outside with people took care of so much of what we feared was going to be problematic. You know, of course, always problems, but all those scary things that we overthought and came up with things and what if really didn't come.
That's
to
a
pass.
Really important point. The overthinking thing. That's what happens when you're sitting around, you know, and thinking things through. There's a lot of overthinking that happens. So just a couple of things I want to add onto that. So first of all, let's just talk about Steve Baskin's Camp Champions, where people went to Texas. Okay, staff, for 11 weeks, those staff were sequestered in a bubble. They did not leave. And by the way, they're 45 minutes from Austin. Okay. Wow. That's why they chose to work there, so that they would have one day a week to go to Austin. Right.
Oh,
and instead they were stuck on this compound for 11 weeks. Okay. But my point here is that the camps that did open last summer, the staff that chose to work at camp, right? Just like we're saying, the kids that choose to go to camp in a pandemic, the staff that choose to work at camp in a pandemic are a unique breed. And they are those who are literally like, what do you need me to do? Right? All in, right? I mean, my metaphor is like the three musketeers when they put their swords in the middle. It's like all for one for all. That's the vibe that we had. I asked them to do so much more than they usually do. They worked their tails off. Lunchtime, oh my God, it was nuts. Okay, swim instruction, I had them in the water because the swim instructors couldn't even get there. All I could just keep going on. And they were just like, and they were stressed out. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, I always do that. I put the mask on and it's like, you see their eyes. Like the stress is in the eyeballs. You know, like you're
giant
just like
cartoon
oh
circles.
My God, I hope they don't pass out from this. And, you know, I mean, but, and to me, the parents of these high school and college kids that allowed their kids to come work for me for $1,000 in the middle of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. Like that blows my mind and will forever blow my mind. And I'm eternally grateful for those.
It tells
people.
You something though, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It tells you something like the parents, the kids and the older kids, the staff, like how necessary First of all, how necessary camp is. Don't get me started on that because I can go on and on and on.
Yeah.
Like how necessary camp is, but especially in that moment, you know, I think back to last summer when, depending on where you were, there was a lull in cases. Not where I am, but depending on where you were, there was a lull in cases. Like spring was terrible. Fall was terrible. But there was a moment in the summer where it felt like, I think we're going to be okay. And by then, you know, they had figured out that masks do help. You know, there was a lot of misinformation. It's, and also it's summer, right? So we're outside and it was, you know, the sun shining. So I think those elements for sure contributed to sort of like a different kind of feeling than we had when this thing started. And then also when school started, and it was great. I mean, camp falls right into that pocket. But again, it's like how much people needed that after coming off of the spring, mm-hmm. like this spring of doom. You know, what a fantastic thing to have.
Do you know who the most depressed people were at the end of the summer? It was the school teachers that were going back to school.
Yeah.
And they are now the most, they are most looking forward to camp. These poor people who have been doing this whole hybrid thing. And like you said, Chris, you know, now you're out of camp. Now you're in school. Now you're in school. Now you're out of school. Like a yo-yo.
It's terrible.
Yeah. They can't wait for it.
I think one thing that, Andy, when you said about, you know, these parents letting their kids, their counselors come, or even parents who are letting their kids come, it said to me, yes, they need it. And we had parents in the parking lot on a daily basis. At our day camp, most of the time, most of the kids, 95% of the kids are bused in, so we don't see the parents. Last year, we had to have everybody drive in and drop off, and parents were crying. You know, after 2 days in the parking lot, you know, oh my gosh, all the way home, all he does is talk. I haven't seen my kid smile in 3 months. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Other parents coming in and saying, I haven't taken a nap in 3 months. I haven't had a bath in 3 months. I haven't had a moment alone. Yeah. I'm hoping at least something.
Yeah, yeah, Chris, get ready for that, Chris. For your 1 week of camp, get ready for these kids going back home and being transformed.
Yeah, they really were. The other thing we realized too, it was kind of cool, is that usually it's a long bus ride after camp. And when the kids get off the hot bus, they tell their parent how hot the bus was and how Johnny was poking him with the stick. And they were going directly from camp into the car and talking about the funny song we just sang and we made this and we did that. And so the parents were getting a different view of what camp is. So that was something that, you know, we really noticed and we appreciated. But the other thing that I think is so important for camp directors to understand is the trust. And we felt that from the parents who came and the staff that came. Kennelin has a 75-year history. And boy, was it obvious that these people trusted us. And if Kennelin said they were going to be okay, they believed that we were going to be okay.
But I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of camps are worried about opening, because they themselves are not convinced.
Right.
You know, well, and that's an important thing, right?
Yeah.
Because here are these parents, like they're looking at you going, Kelly, we trust you so much for sending your kid. And meanwhile, back at Kelly's head, she's going, oh my God, I'm crapping in my pants here.
But don't do that all the time?
Yeah, all the time. I was just going to say that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is just a different flavor.
People can't understand this. These children are not going to die. They're just not.
Oh God. Okay? I hope not.
Look, it's camp. I mean, a kid can drown. Let's be serious. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's just not going to happen. Right. The percentages are just so low. There's just a lot of misconceptions. And one of the misconceptions also is that we're promising. I can't open this summer. I'm going virtual because I can't promise that every kid is going to be safe. Right. I mean, you said it yourself, Chris. Mm-hmm. We can never promise that.
Never promise
that. A kid can fall out of a tree. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things like that. And another misconception. I have a whole misconception list, but I'll just leave you with this one now. Because Kelly mentioned masks before, right? And every state is different. I know that my friends up at Everwood and my friends in New York, that kids and staff have to wear masks all the time at camp. Doesn't matter. I don't give a crap. You have to socially distance and wear a mask, right? Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, well, I don't know. I can't envision my camp looking like that and all these kids. And I give tours all the time, in-person tours, okay, with kids and parents. And inevitably, the parents start talking about masks because they hate it. Because you and I, we've been looking at humans without masks for so many years. And it's like it misfires our brain, right? Mm-hmm. But these little kids, inevitably, they start pulling on their parents' shirt. And they go, mom, dad. We don't care.
They don't
care about these masks. Okay. We just want to come to camp. they don't care about masks.
It was so really interesting for me as a, I worked in private school for, you know, many, many years. And I was a little perturbed that people had so little confidence in children, you know, and when they were saying, well, kids won't be able to do this, kids won't be able to do that, kids. And I was like, really? Like, I'm around kids my whole life and kids, you know, do what needs to be done and move on with it. Kids are probably the better at following directions than any grown up I've ever known. Plus, right.
I mean,
and you tell a kid to, you know, tie your shoelace. I mean, kids are told what to do all the time. And those kids put on those masks. And sure, there's always the outlier who, you know, was, you know, not doing it properly, but 99% of the kids had their mask, had the extra in the thing. They'd forgot it. Another kid would go, hey, you forgot your mask. And they would put them on. And it wasn't any different than making a kid wear a life jacket or having them have their closed toed shoes at archery. Yeah, or
no one wants to wear a life jacket either.
So like the kids, you know, if other people's camps are like our camp, our kids are so in normal years, let's say, they are so grateful to be there every second of the experience. And if we said you have to wear a mask, they'd be like, no problem. We had done in preparation for opening this year. And I want to get to the fact that last year was really different from this. People who didn't open last year, I'm just going to spoiler alert, you should open this year. But anyway, I'll get there. But you know, we had just picked about 16 families at random and we set up calls with them just to be like, hey, what's up? Do you have any questions you want to ask? And they got the whole family together on a call and they could ask us whatever. And we just said, hey, listen, we're going to open camp. How would you feel if there was no swimming? How would you feel if there was no dining hall, but you had to eat in your cabin? How would you feel if you had to wear your mask all the time, except for the second before you went to bed? Just a list of things. And when I tell you that all 16 families, everyone in the family, including the pets, were like, Chris, whatever, right. Whatever.
We are selling ice water bottles in the desert right now.
And people were just like, listen, we'll do whatever. Like no pool. To every single child I talked to, because the pool is like, it's a big deal.
Of course, yeah,
it's a big deal. You know, and especially it got redone 2 years ago. And now it's even a bigger deal. But like, and I was like, no pool. No one blinked. They're like, huh, okay, fine. No problem. Can I go to camp? I mean, kids burst into tears just when I got on the phone because they were like, I just wanted to go. I was like, all right, you can come. but you know, to go back to what you say about the trust, the parents, and I was like, hey, parents, do you have any questions for us? And they're like, we know you're going to keep the kids safe. You always do. And I was like, oh, well, you're right. We do. Right. So, but yeah, I just want to, and you'll probably get here, Andy, I just want to put in this plug now and I will remind you all later. Last year was really different than this summer, because, I mean, numbers wise, for sure, vaccine wise, for sure, information wise, for sure. But also, I mean, to get back to the dark part, these kids need camp more than ever.
Yeah. They're that much worse now. Yeah.
You know, we had a conversation on the Camp Hacker podcast. I don't know when it aired or if it aired a couple of weeks ago. But you know, of course you ask people like us, we're like, camp is super, super important. And so maybe no one believes it when I am screaming from the rooftops this year, but never before, I think, has camp been as important as it is this year. Like you said, Andy, kids have not been socializing. Even like I work in a school, these kids are confined to their classroom and they have to have their masks up and they're socially distanced. And it's not like they can wander around. Yeah. They're eating at their desks. They don't leave the rooms.
Some schools, there's plexiglass between them.
You know what I mean? And so like, it's going to be like the wild, wild west at camps,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like that first day is going to be hard on staff, but it's also going to be hard on these kids who are trying to reacclimate to how do you talk to someone face to face? You know, think about it. Cast your mind back to last March and April. How many face to face conversations did you have with people who didn't live with you? You know, and for us, it's like a blip, but for 3 months for a 9-year-old, is a significant chunk of their life.
It's a percentage of their life.
Yeah. I mean, you think about it, you know, they only have about 6 years of working memory. You take 3 months of that and be like, okay, well, now you're isolated. That's rough. So
yeah.
I know everyone who's listening to this is already a convert, but camp is going to be the most important thing for kids this summer.
Yeah, well, they're already convert, but they're not all converted to be opening up this summer in a positive, successful way, right? Because a lot of people, they're still struggling with a lot of things. And a lot of these struggles, you know, there's a template now for this. Okay. I mean, even for Chris, who most, you know, what 98% of the resident camps probably didn't open last summer in the country, but a bunch did. you know, and we need to pick their brains and we need to see their templates and we need to see their safety plans. Right. And I mean, I make mine available all the time.
Yeah.
And all the stress that all you camps that didn't open last summer that are planning on opening right now, all that stress you have right now, we went through this last year. Mm-hmm. We made our charts. We made our big graphs. We made our, you know, decisions of what we were doing. You do not have to invent the wheel this summer. Okay. You can work off of the people who have accomplished this and they will help you. We want everyone to open. It's super, super important for us. And it's not unique. You're not feeling anything unique at this point. It's been done. Okay.
I would say too, Chris, that what you said about parents, you know, you were calling parents and you were asking them and they're, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, there might be people out there thinking, well, my parents won't say that. My parents ask me questions. My parents, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And it is true. And the way that we've done it in the past is you don't have to accommodate those people. Mm-hmm. There are people out there and everybody is on a different, you know, at a different place, right? And we spent a lot of time talking to parents and being very transparent about what we could or couldn't do. We can't guarantee this. The safest place for your child is at home. But we believe if you're, you know, if you believe that, you know, your child needs to go out, we've created an environment that's as safe as it can be. Mm-hmm. And being okay with talking to parents and saying, wow, it doesn't sound like you're ready. Wow, these are a lot of questions.
It's not for everybody.
You're having problems, right? And that's okay.
And that's always true.
You know, and we love you and you still mm-hmm. are a member of our Kennelin family and camp in 2022, we're hoping we'll be back to normal. And so all of those things are okay. So as a camp director, you don't have to feel like if a parent calls and asks 900 questions and you can't, you know, appease every single thing, then that means I can't open my program. No, you can open your program for the people that are on the spectrum of, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to, you know, take that chance. It's not even, as you said before, not hugely of a chance anymore mm-hmm. as much as it felt like last year, but that's okay too. And there are going to be people who aren't going to be ready and that's okay.
And Kelly, that's always true.
Right.
That is exactly. always true. Right. I can't tell you how many times I've had to talk to anxious parents pre-pandemic, you know, parents who are like, can we get a hotel down the street and stay there and come every day? And I'm like, no, you need to go home.
Can I hide
you
in the bushes?
You know what I mean? Like there's always parents and we've had to say, listen, this camp will be here and you're not ready. But when you are, come on back. That's it. And it was homesickness or whatever it is for those hover parents. Now it's the pandemic.
Right.
2 years from now, it'll be something else. Like we have these conversations as camp directors all the time. It's just that, listen, I talked about the trauma of families and kids before, but we're all traumatized as well.
Oh, of course.
When I tell you that sitting on my couch this summer, I mean, after being away, after having something to do every summer for the past 20 something years and sitting, 30 years. I didn't know who I was or what I was about or what to do with myself. And it was hard and it was dark and it was hard on me. And that's true for all staff, people who live and die by camp, people who love it. It was really like, when it's part of your identity, it was hard. So we're all sitting with that trauma as camp people, as camp administrators. But moving through that is also part of our role, you know, because there are kids who need this experience.
Yeah, so we need to guide them through that. And one of the things that Kelly was exemplifying with these communications with the parents is communication, mm-hmm. right? And I think that the three of us are sort of unique. I'm just guessing that we are all three were extroverts. We speak our mind.
Who, me?
We over communicate. That's just sort of what we are, right? And let's say half the camp directors out there aren't like that. All right, let's just be mm-hmm. real, right? It's time that you find that inner thing, even if you have to act that way. Mm-hmm. Okay, your parents need to hear your confidence. Your parents need your positivity mm-hmm. right now. Okay. I'm talking to a lot of camps and they're like, oh, well, you know, we're just starting this and we're just starting to enroll. We're just starting this. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like your parents need to hear 100%. We are opening. We are enrolling. It's going to be an amazing summer. It's going to be great. And I know that deep down, you don't know exactly what it's going to look like, but you don't have to say that.
It's always true.
Right.
Well, but I think though, Andy, too, you can say it. And I think your vulnerability is something that's important too, right? And so if I don't feel comfortable knowing all the answers, and I did a lot of this, you know, we just don't know. you know, we're waiting for more guidance. We're following the most up-to-date protocol we have now. We'll keep you posted. We are always, you know,
we'll let you know as soon as we know.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. Those kinds of things, I think, make the parents feel better. Like, you know, this is all brand new to us, you know, and going back to what Chris said about, you know, so many of these things really are what we do every single day, right? The pandemic has just made it bigger and people are filled with more fear because they're seeing it on, like, it's a global thing, right? It's not just my own fear as a parent sending my kid to camp like it would have been 5 years ago. This is the whole world and creating this big fear. So being vulnerable with those parents was, I think, for me, the key to, you know, connecting with them. Wow, you're right. It is scary. We get it. You know, we understand. This is the website we go to. Have you checked that one out? You know, oh, we read this New York Times article. Here, read this, you know. And so being confident and positive is great, but it's also important to just be real and acknowledge that for all of us and not pretend like, oh, we've got our stuff together and you obviously don't, you know?
Yeah. So now let me clarify. You need to say you don't know exactly what's going on, like, but you need to downplay it. That can't be the centerpiece of what you're, of your, because then it becomes like very disconcerting.
Of course.
But I want to just touch on something you said. You said a wonderful word, one of my favorite words of 2020 to 2021, which is vulnerability. Okay. So at the end of last summer, I bought the top 40 people in my camp, you know, as far as supervisors and stuff, the Brené Brown book called Dare to Lead. And it's all about vulnerability. That's like the magic potion in vulnerability. it's a great book. I advise everybody to read it. But she also talks about the definition of courage. And I love this too. She defines courage as being able to move forward when you don't necessarily know what the outcome is going to look like.
Yeah, I love that.
Right? And that is like the epitome of running a camp in a pandemic or school or whatever, right? And I think if you frame it like that, that it can be a very cathartic experience for your people. Mm-hmm. You know, Steve Baskin gave this little speech when he first started camp. He started really early like you, Kelly, maybe even earlier. And so I stole the idea, which was he told his staff that there's a famous play. It's like King Henry VIII or something like that. And it's about how this young prince basically comes back from university and his father passes away and he all of a sudden has to be the king and he's really young. And they're in an 80-year war with France and they're getting their butts kicked. And the soldiers at that point are like, we're out of here. We'll speak French at this point. Like everybody's getting sick and it's winter and it was just miserable. And he got up there and gave this big speech and said, you know what? We are going to do this and we are going to win and we are going to fight through this. And everybody that's went home and that's leaving us here and that thinks we can't do it, they're going to wish that they were here to be a part of this, because this is going to be a memorable thing that's in the history books. And that's the speech that I pretty much gave at the beginning of orientation. And people were just like, people want to be part of something bigger than them, especially people who have been sitting in their bedroom,
yes, especially this
doing year. School for the last whatever.
I love that speech because zero hyperbole this year. I've been accused of being dramatic, but honestly, I sign on 1000% to that entire thing. This is
absolutely, yeah.
You know, that's for people who think they can't open this summer. First of all, you know, take yourself on a long walk and really ask yourself, you know, what camp means to you. And I tell you, by the end of that walk, you're going to want to open. It just, you owe it to yourself as a camp professional. You owe it to your community who needs this so badly.
Yeah. I agree. You're an essential worker. That's how you have to look at it.
I like that.
Oh, we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like
that.
We
called them that. Yeah.
Yeah. And your people are essential.
Mm-hmm. Another thing on your walk that you're going to think about is wrap your mind around the fact that change is hard. And change is what this is for a lot of camp directors. You know, a lot of camps are wash, rinse, repeat, you know, and we change two or three things every year, right? And if something big happens, then we're like in a, you know, a flummox. But this is change big time in some cases, and it's hard, and that's okay. And I'll tell you, like with all change, growth comes from that, right? And so even in our program that we're doing this year, we've learned so much from the change that we made last year that we're incorporating some of that stuff for real. And if we think in general in the world, hopefully some of these pandemic lessons will stick with us. But try to get through where your fear is coming from. Mm-hmm. And if your fear is coming from change, then, you know, you can work through that. Change is hard. We get that, but it's so possible and it's so important. Yeah. And it is that courage, you know?
So let me throw a little reality check in here though. Okay. And I mentioned this to Chris earlier. So it could be like 90% of the camps in America are nonprofit camps. Okay. That really have just a couple of nickels to rub together that are really relying on donations and this and that. Right. You know, Chris mentioned he's a full-time social worker, right? Meanwhile, he's trying to put together this 1 week camp. He is not unique. There's more Chris's out there than there are Andy and Kelly's, frankly. Okay. And a lot of these camps are really strict. Yeah, really.
And I like Andy's and Kelly's.
But meaning there's more camp professionals who are doing it as a part-time kind of gig, right? And people that work for YMCAs and all these kind of things, many of them are running after school programs. They're multitasking, they're doing all these things. And they're really worried about, because there's been a lot of furloughs and some people working 50% time and all that kind of stuff. And they're really worried about making it even to the starting line. That's why a lot of them are opting to go virtual this summer, just because of that financial fear. So I just want to speak to that for a second and get Chris's opinion on this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I started a camp from scratch with like no money, you know, and I think you need to get yourself out of the mindset of how things have been and just figure out how you can possibly do it, you know, because like Chris was saying, people just want to come to your damn camp. That's all they want to do. You know, they'll play dominoes all summer. They really will.
They will do anything. Yeah. They'll run around in a tight circle.
You know, you can cut 90% of what you're doing if you really have to just open your doors. Mm-hmm. You know, tell your staff you'll pay them half as much. They'll still do it. Mm-hmm. They're not doing it for the money. You know, if that's what it comes down to.
I think people who are, listen, and everyone, I've talked to a lot of camp directors and everyone is in different financial situations, you know, and if you are risking your property or risking your home, or then maybe you should not open. We're being super positive, but we're also being super realistic and super practical. Only you know what is going to be right for you financially. But if you are on the edge, it's like, so, well, you know, maybe if we don't open this year, we can have a really big opening the following year. Like if you're making those sorts of like sort of bargains, really think about what you're waiting for. Like Kelly said, like so many camps are like, you know, rinse and repeat. Like, you know, you swap out casino night for, you know, circus night, and then like, boom, it's just the same
thing. Swap out Kelly for Marjorie.
Yeah. You just move a couple of things around. You know, the theme of the dance is like under the sea. Now it's like over the stars, whatever. And you're like, ah, I've done my job. After years of running a camp, it feels like that's what running a camp is. And you forget what it was like. I still remember the first year of Camp Highlight when we had to like almost door to door and convince parents to like, hey, can you trust the two of us? Yeah. You got knock on doors. Hey, you all gay? You got kids? Anybody? Can you send them into the woods with us?
Wave the flag. Yeah. See if anybody comes out.
And we got eight families to send 12 kids with us into the woods. And we had to make it work. And that year there was a superstorm and an earthquake. Wow. And we had to figure it out. And like 10, 11 years later now, you know, I would think that, oh, I'm very much rinse and repeat. But you know what? That's not how I got into this.
Right.
And when I was a counselor back in the day, that's not how I was operating. So like, if you're making these bargains, like, okay, well, we'll close 2021, we'll do virtual again. And 2022, we'll go back to normal. I have news. There is no more normal. Right? This is the new normal, and it has already started. I'm not even going to say it started today. It's already started, and our kids need us, right? Yeah, they'll need us next year, but they need us now. And whatever you can provide, maybe you're running a three-week camp, and you can operate for 1 week. Yep. Maybe you do a one-week camp like I do, and you can do it for a weekend. Whatever you do is going to have an impact. Listen, I'm in the business of changing children's lives. That's why I'm here. And it's hard. It's hard work because we're changing children's lives. That's really, that's a huge thing.
It's a huge responsibility. So
if that's a huge thing that we're doing, then there's going to have to be, we're going to have to put in the hard work and a little tiny bit of sacrifice. And the sacrifice that I'm asking people to take on is just, I know you're stressed. I know you're traumatized. I know this has been hard. Believe me, I know. But this community needs you right now. And you can do it, baby. As Kenny said, you can do it, baby.
And like Kelly said, there's COVID silver linings all over the place. And one of the things that we learned is that the essence of camp is what's important. Absolutely. And it's about the relationships. You know, you could run, you could move your camp to somebody's backyard, for God's sakes. Mm-hmm. Like that's really,
and that's
what
not a bad idea.
It's not. Yeah.
Honestly, this is not a joke. Yeah. This is not a joke. If you know someone with spacious land and you can talk to your insurance company about the whole thing, whatever you need to do, make it happen.
No, yeah. It's not about the pool slide and all that stuff anymore. It really isn't. I did a great podcast, day camp podcast, back in the beginning of January with Liz Kimmelman. She talked about how after running camp last summer, that they literally went to their website, Chris, and they stripped it of all the bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. And it's just, they said, we're just leaving stuff that's just about relationships and making kids' lives better, you know, because that's what it all came down to. All right. So we're trying to stay in a sweet spot of 45 minutes, buddy. So we're going to do, we're going to go around. Everybody get a last closing statement. Okay. I'm going to go first. All right. So, I just want to say that you are not alone. Okay, that this camp industry is a special place. Ever since I got into this 25 years ago, I've never been part of such an uplifting group of people who really help each other out. It's not super competitive. You know, the camp down the street will literally help me and I will help them. Okay, we're trying to make the world a better place. Just like Chris said, the reason we are doing this is not to make money. We're doing this to help children become better people, plain and simple, right? Absolutely. So, you know, through this pandemic, one of the silver linings has been camps coming together and supporting each other. And for, if you're not part of one of those little cabals of camps out there, I suggest that you start one or you join one, you know, like Wake, you know, is example on the West Coast. That's Kelly's representing today. But also, you know, reach out to these camps that ran last summer. Ask them for a copy of their schedule, a copy of their, of what did they send their parents? You know, all those kind of things. You will just get an immediate, here it is. That's what you'll get from people. All right. Because everybody wants to help everybody. You can't do this by yourself. You cannot operate in a silo. This is too freaking hard. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like Chris said, this is hard work we're doing and you do not have to do it alone.
Mm-hmm. And just, I'm going to co-sign on everything you just said, Andy, is that like, ask for help. If you're sitting there being like, I don't know where to start. Yeah. Like Andy said, you're not alone. Ask for help. Ask me for help. Chris at camphighlight.com.
Andy at libertylakedaycamp.com.
Ellie at kennelin.com.
Ask me for help. Ask people for help. That, like Andy said, this is non-competitive. We're all out here doing the same thing. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, good. This is an overwhelming moment in time.
Heck yeah.
Right? And it's okay. You can be overwhelmed and you can do hard things. And yeah, we are all here to support anyone who wants to open a camp.
I would say too that, you know, we are not where we were last year. You know, we have so much more information. We have so much more experience. We have so much more understanding about the virus itself. We have, you know, you mentioned, Chris, earlier that kids are, you know, slowly slipping deeper and deeper. So that's the bad part of this. But the good part of it is we know a lot more than we did last year at this time. And so there's a lot of positive stuff out there to help. And hopefully, if the trajectory of life goes the way it's going now, by June, July, and August, things will be even better. More people vaccinated, more understanding of the variants, all those kinds of things. So as scary and horrible as it sounds, it's getting better and better. Plus, like Andy said, you have the resources of people who did it when we didn't know anything, and it worked. So you've got sort of the canary that already went into the coal mine, right? Yep. And the canary's okay. And so, you know, here we are,
chapping
away, tweeting away, right? And so use that positivity to bolster yourself, right? To say, you know, and you're a camp director, for gosh sakes, you know, you make crazy decisions with zero information all the time. This is no different, except for it's all over social media and the world has scared you. It is no different than that.
And, also, we make magic, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, truly, you know, put your big girl panties on and let's just go do this thing.
Look, to lead, to lead is to serve, right? And and by opening camp in the midst of all this craziness, you are serving your community.
Absolutely.
Right. And at a time when they need you the most.
Yeah.
And to Chris's point, you're serving yourself if this is what you do, if this is what guides your life, if this is what gives you joy, if this is, you know, I'll get all teary-eyed. But if this is your thing, then don't be afraid to go do your thing because you're here for a reason. And if you're the director making these decisions, then you must be, you know, this must be in your heart. And if it's in your heart.
And it's a lot of pressure. Everybody's looking at you. I get it.
Of course.
I get it. But so put on a happy face.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And go out there and do it. You can do that. And
is there a song or something?
It's, not to sound like my grandma, but it's going to be fine, honey.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
You're going to be fine.
It all, my grandmother used to say, it always works out in the end.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we want to thank our GoCamp Pro team. Thank you, Matt Hansberger, for inspiring this show and Travis for letting it all happen, for the many sponsors that help all of our podcasts, you know, run each week. And if you like what you hear, you could subscribe to the mini. Go to gocamp.pro and check out all the podcasts and check out the show notes for this and other episodes out there and our contact information for Kelly and for Chris. Thanks for listening and making yourself a better camp professional. We'll see you out there on the interweb and on the podcast web and all that kind of thing. All right. Take care. You can do it, baby.
Good luck.
The Day Camp Podcast is brought to you by GoCamp Pro and the GoCamp Pro Podcast Network. Find a podcast for camp professionals of every age and stage at gocamp.pro/podcast. Thanks for listening, friends. Hey, Camp Pros, we love that our industry is built on sharing. In order to foster that spirit, we hope that whenever you share an idea that you learn from the Camp Hacker podcast, conference, summer camp professionals group, or wherever else, that you're quick to give credit where credit is due. That way, we can all encourage more Camp Pros to share the tips and tricks that will make camp better.